I want us to continue tonight looking at the place of children in Scripture, and tonight to look a bit at parenting. I know none of us have young children now in this group, but there is so much going on in society around us concerning children. I thought it would be good to look at how we protect them, to do with the home and parenting. Things like gay and trans issues are going on all the time. The recent laws and decisions in Parliament on conversion therapy ban. Thankfully, the ban has been kept in place for children who want to transition. But there's that going on, always the question of school toilets, the question of parental involvement, children being encouraged to do things without their parents knowing, especially in transitioning. So there's gay and trans issues all the time. There's the question of discipline. We've got smacking bans in England and now in Wales, passed recently. There's the question of what I would call inappropriate alleged racial pressures on children. You probably don't wash it. I'm sure you've all seen the BBC programme called Tiny Happy People. And no, I haven't seen it, but I read a news article recently, and the producers of the programme were asking parents, do your children have coloured friends? Well, that sort of thing is going on. There's, as we know in the news, the susceptibility of children to online abuse and porn, schoolboys sexually abusing and bullying girls, twisted views of sex, the assumption by children that porn is normal. According to Ofsted, last year 90% of girls and 50% of boys had been sent explicit pictures and videos. 90% of girls. And then there's the online safety bill currently going through Parliament, which is good, but doesn't go far enough to protect children. I read recently of an organisation called CEASE, C-E-A-S-E, the Centre to End All Sexual Exploitation. I don't know anything about them. I don't know if it is religious or secular, but they are saying that the online safety bill doesn't go far enough to protect children. There's the question of Christian schools and Christian homeschoolers. The government are talking about possibly introducing a new register for children educated at home. And of course, Amanda Spielman, the Ofsted chief inspector, is very keen on that. Will Christian views at home be classed as extremist? Many of our views and teachings from Scripture are already classed as extremist, aren't they? And another question is, why are parents having less children? According to the Office for National Statistics, in 2020, for the first time ever, I believe, a half of all women in England and Wales remained without children by their 30th birthday. So 50% of all women in England and Wales were still without children by the time of their 30th birthday. That's the first time that's happened. Apparently the national birth rate has dropped by 4.1% from 2019 to 2020. That's before the pandemic, so it's not due to COVID. Several reasons, of course, are cited. Is it lack of money, cited as one of the reasons? Is it that children are viewed more and more as an intrusion? You get that impression sometimes from the stuff you read in the news. And then finally, another question or fact that seemed to me was, who teaches them? Who teaches our children about God himself? Do we leave it to the church, leave it to the Sunday school, to the day school, or our parents, should parents be doing it? I read an interesting quote recently by R.C. Sproul, who many of you may not have heard of. R.C. Sproul was a well-known evangelical preacher in America, died in 2017, so that's about 5 years ago. And it's a short article I read, and I won't read all the article, because even though short, it was quite long. But part of it says this: R.C. Sproul says, "I don't know how many times I've heard parents who are members of churches say to me, 'I intentionally never discuss theology or religion with my children because I want them to believe whatever they come to believe, honestly, and not just because they've been indoctrinated by us in the home. I don't want them to be slaves to a parental tradition. I want them to experience reality on its own terms and come to whatever conclusion they have drawn from the experience.'" R.C. Sproul says, "There's such sentiments mystify me because they are at such odds with the teaching of Scripture. Just consider," he says, "Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words," now note this, "and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What I find remarkable, says R.C. Sproul, "what I find remarkable about this text is how closely it places the mandate to teach our children to what Jesus calls the greatest commandment, namely, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That's Matthew 22. The responsibility, he says, is given to parents. Moreover, Deuteronomy 6 doesn't just say, "You shall teach them casually, occasionally, once in a while to your children." These things are to be taught so diligently that they are going to be taught every single day, in every place, even in every room of our homes. Our teaching may be formal, or informal, but it permeates the whole home. I'm sure that's what Moses means in Deuteronomy. When you sit in your house, walk by the way, lie down, you shall bind them on your hand, etc., etc. It permeates the whole home. So tonight, let's look at parenting. At the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we read that God made a man and a woman to produce children. Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them," and this was God's command to Adam and Eve, "God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Have children. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it.'" Adam called Eve, didn't he? He called her Eve. Genesis 3, verse 20. Adam called her Eve because she was the mother of all living. But then from then on, it was downhill, as it were, all the way, wasn't it? Genesis 3, the fall and the curse to Eve, that God would multiply her pain in childbirth. Genesis 4, Cain murders his own brother. Sibling rivalry right from the beginning. And from then on, as we read in Scripture, children grew up amongst corruption, polygamy, adultery, evil after generation after generation. Genesis 6 and 7, we read about the flood, the whole world destroyed except Noah and his family. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, and the division that God set amongst people by language. So children grew up in strife after strife. Satan, through human means or directly, wages a constant war on the family, and almost culminating, as it were, if you remember from a previous Bible study, almost culminating, as it were, in human sacrifices. Was that, as it were, the climax of their wickedness to the children that God had given them? They were his children. And while they do not know right from wrong, while they don't know God from Satan, they don't know truth from lies, they don't know faith from rejection. Until they know that, till then, they are his. He created them. They are my children, he said. And if they die, they go to him. Remember David in 2 Samuel 12, when the baby died that Bathsheba had given birth to, David says, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And as an aside here, I don't know whether you've ever thought it, it occurred to me while preparing this. Do you remember later on when another of David's children, Absalom, 2 Samuel 18:33, Absalom had waged war against his father and Absalom was murdered by Joab. And in that instance, David was totally devastated. He just couldn't recover. Joab seemed quite hard in the way he spoke to David, but it's interesting the way things worked out. Was it because he knew he wouldn't see Absalom in heaven? Where did Absalom stand spiritually? I don't know, but it's just a thought. So, first point, how do we protect our children? Marriage is clearly life's primary blessing, and it is within marriage that we are to have children. Genesis 2:18, remember, God gives Adam a helper. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Remember John chapter 2 verse 1, that Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding. I'm sure that was deliberate, wasn't by chance. His first miracle was at a wedding. Ephesians 5, Paul compares a man and his wife in marriage to Christ and the church, doesn't he? So it's clearly that marriage in life, marriage is life's primary blessing in the way that we are to live. That's not to say that it's a sin not to marry. It's clearly okay not to marry. But the Bible is clear that sex and children should be within marriage. The Bible is clear that some people have a gift, as it were, not to marry. So it's okay not to marry. It's not a sin to not marry. But marriage is clearly one of God's richest blessings to us. Secondly, not only is marriage a blessing, children are a blessing. Children are not an intrusion, as seems to be so common around us today, isn't it? It is so evident in Scripture. It's interesting to look at the example of Jacob and Leah, Genesis 29. Jacob didn't have a happy marriage, did he? Rebekah had not produced any children for him. Either Rebekah or Jacob or both appeared barren. So Rebekah gives to Jacob her maidservant Leah. And we read that God gave Leah four sons, one after the other. But what is interesting is what Leah says after each one. After Reuben, she says, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. She missed love from Jacob. She wanted a husband who loved her. And she saw a child as the way to make her husband, to cause her husband to love her. And how common that thought is today, isn't it, sometimes in society? After Simeon, her next child, she says, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And after Levi, now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. And after Judah, she says, now I will praise the Lord. Clearly her need for children, her desire for children, was linked to the sense of the lack of love from Jacob towards her. Sadly then, Jacob, we read, went with Bilhah, Zilpah, back to Leah again. I think he had another two children by each of those. And then finally, Rachel bore him and bore Joseph to Jacob. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is Moses talking about blessing the fruit of the womb, childbirth and fertility. Deuteronomy 7, Moses says, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers." And then this he says, "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb." Childbirth is a blessing from God. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. Children are looked on as the our sustainer in old age. Relevant to quite a few of us here this evening, I think. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13, we read that Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." A restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Children were seen as a blessing, weren't they? Psalm 113, verse 9. We'll start at verse 7. Psalm 113, verse 7. The psalmist says, "The Lord raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord." It's a nice statement, that, isn't it? He grants the barren woman a home. A home is a place with children, a family. Praise the Lord, says the psalmist. Psalm 115 and verse 14, we read that God's blessings are on both parents and their children. Verse 14, the psalmist says, "May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children." And then some well-known verses from Psalm 127. You'll remember these. Psalm 127 and verse 3. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like the arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." And then turn to another psalm, the next psalm, 128 and verses 3 and 4. The psalmist says, "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Brings a picture, doesn't it, of mum and dad sitting at the table and their children spread around the table. "Now then, my little olive plants," they say. But that's the picture. It's a, in a sense, it's a cosy picture. It's a homely picture, isn't it? But again, we have to say it's okay not to have children. It's not a sin to not have children, is it? But the Bible always presents children as the norm, as it were, and barrenness is often referred to with sadness. So thus, children are a blessing to us. God gives them not to judge us, but to bless us. Thirdly, parenting is a blessing. Although it doesn't seem to be sometimes, does it? Parenting is a blessing, clearly, in Scripture, but children are a problem if they are not properly parented. And that comes out time and again in Scripture, doesn't it? Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Children are a problem if they're not properly parented. Proverbs 13 verse 24, we read about the discipline and the rod. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. It's unfortunate that today disciplining your son with a rod has become conflated, confused with child abuse, hasn't it? On the contrary, the Bible says, he who spares his rod hates his son. Using a rod causes pain, it does. But modern society can't seem to distinguish between discipline and abuse, can it? Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer doesn't listen to rebuke. Psalm 19 verse 18 says this, Proverbs 19 and verse 18 says, chasten your son while there is hope. I think that it seems to imply promptly. Chasten your son while there is hope, and don't set your heart on his destruction. Interesting statement, isn't it? Don't so lose your rag, don't lose your anger to such an extent that you become hateful towards your child. Chasten your son while there's hope, and don't set your heart on his destruction. That's the New King James Version. The English Standard Version puts it slightly differently. Discipline your son, for there is hope, and do not set your heart on putting him to death. The choice there is discipline or death. Don't give up on your children. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. I think that's the message that we need to preach today. Children are not neutral, but all modern education seems to assume that they are. Children need moral instruction and discipline. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23 goes slightly further, that an undisciplined child is on the path to death. Again, the choice between discipline or death. Proverbs 23 verse 13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. I'm sure this is linked to, this is why we are given the commandment. Remember the first commandment with a promise? In Exodus, Jesus says, the first commandment with a promise is this, Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honour your father and your mother, and what's the promise? That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That your days may be long, there's life. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Obeying your parents equals life and a longer life. Now we know that that's not a literally true in every case. It's a principle that obeying your parents prolongs your life. It sets you on the road to life and not the road to death. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. They should never alienate the one who's being disciplined. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Good parenting eliminates shame to the mum, makes a father's heart glad, is a blessing to everyone else who deals with your children, and most importantly, is a blessing to the child, him or herself. It puts them on the road to life and keeps them from the road to death. So appropriate, timely discipline brings harmony to a home, doesn't it? Proverbs 29:17, we'll finish on this one. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight to your soul. A parent, I hope it doesn't need saying to any believer, a parent is a dominating force in the home. And today we may need to fight to keep that as governments seek to take away more and more parental authority and responsibility. So we may be thankful for the children that God has given us, for the homes that we have for each one of us. Pray that God will protect us and keep us from the sin within ourselves, the world around us, and from Satan himself. Amen.